All right, so I'd like to welcome our speaker today, Dennis.
Ivan. Hello, everybody. Good morning. And I was going to mention a prayer that meant a lot to me, but I'm not going to do that now. And I'm really glad that I wasn't dozing when you were talking about how the meeting is run. I have a question though. I'm looking at the gallery, and Phil has a picture of a canine there instead of his own. Is that a wolf, Phil? Okay, maybe he's not able to. Oh my God, you mean I can take 30 minutes to tell you about my
Yes.
story? And
And I want to
that's
just say,
dangerous.
no, I mean, on the weekends, we usually let people go as long as they want. Just in Ireland, this is a sort of a lunchtime eating. But what I was going to say is you can
That's
talk
pretty.
about prayer. You can talk about anything you want here. This is a free
Okay.
thinking meeting. Anything you want to talk about your recovery is totally fine. So please,
Okay, great.
yeah, don't
Great.
feel, yeah, there's no constraints here.
Okay. Well, I
Be
want to
cursed,
show
you can do
everybody
whatever.
that I am timing myself because I love the sound of my own voice. So I'm starting. Oh gosh. So, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I usually skate through this part of my story because oh, I want before preceding everything, I don't think any of my problems are unique. I've got to remember to speak in the first person. I'm not unique. I just happen to think nobody's unique, but I know I'm not unique. I am special. I'm special. And I used to bristle that at that. Well, I'm unique. Nobody's. Well, that's not the case because it's a good guess. In any room, and certainly 12-step room I'm in, somebody has had the same issues. Or no, excuse me. Somebody will have a similar issue to one of my issues. We may never know that, but I think that that's important. I mean, it's important to me, big deal. But I'm saying that, before I get started. So the reason that that I skate away from early days is because my memory is just vastly blank. I just do not remember large portions, huge portions of my life, and it wasn't because I was drinking at that point. It's just the way that I coped with living in an alcoholic family. My particular family was such that I was the last of four, two girls, two boys. There was 4 years, 3.5 years between my brother, the ne my next sibling, who was my brother. So, and we didn't really bond. You could say he didn't want much to do with me, and sort of made that clear. And I wound up living with my parents. With none of the siblings, because we got out of there as quickly as we could. Irish family, no communication, poor communication, probably lots of secrets. I know I had secrets. I happened to be gay, and that was a big, big, big secret. It's no longer a secret. So I'm in high school, those 4 years in high school, and then the summers in college, 3 summers after college, I went home to a house where my parents were both really depressed. I didn't have that word for it until recently, but we didn't talk. We literally did not talk after. How are you doing? What did Mr. Mullen say? It rained. Did you guys? Were you outside? I was a gardener in the summer for 4 of those years. I didn't know how bad that was. I do know that I had a lot of rage, and some of it was probably teenage rage, but also some of it was because I wasn't, well, I didn't have a relationship much with my father or my brother, which means there was, and at one point there was, see, this is why it's a good thing for me to have this, because I will get lost in this mud hole. I didn't have any, I knew, I don't know, 20 years ago, I realized that I had nobody to look up to in my world. There had been a teacher, a friend of the family, but she passed away way too soon for me. But that's the way things happened. Okay, well, so okay, so I went to college. I stayed down in Washington. I moved back up to Brooklyn, not back, but I moved to Brooklyn, went to grad school, got into, oh gosh, I got into, I got into grad school. I had a job for, I worked for maybe 8 to 10 years, and then after that, because of really low rent in a place that wasn't adequately heated, and I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating, but the mortar was, drifting down on the inside. It was brick mortar, and so every couple of months I'd vacuum it. So I didn't. I just squeezed the nickel and got everything I could out of it. But in, and that's when I, okay, so I get to, didn't really start drinking alcoholically until I was in my 30s. We didn't party like, that term wasn't used, but I lived off campus for 3.5 years, and that the first one of the major houses I lived in bought a, I think it was, I didn't smoke marijuana, so I don't know if it was a pound that they bought or an ounce, but this was, good God, 40 years ago. So if anybody would know the, well, anyway, I don't know that, I don't know the exact change. Anyway, I didn't smoke, I didn't smoke. And we drank on the weekends, and then we're ready for school. You better believe it, on Monday morning. So it was the kind of place that I was lucky that I fell in with the men, the boys that I did, because I wasn't as motivated as them. They were on their, literally on their way to med school or law school, not this camper. So I'm okay, jump ahead to moving to Brooklyn, becoming isolated, and this is all, trying to figure out that I'm gay. What a mess that was. I'm living by myself. I don't know any, well, I had to learn who was in the neighborhood, and it was in Williamsburg before it was hip. When it was dangerous, it was dangerous. And scary, but I had a blast in grad school, because it was I want to say artistic. I mean, that's, it was industrial design, drawing, color, very, I just had a blast, so this other stuff, about, just working, walking very carefully to the 2 blocks to the subway. And anyway, so it's in the family, and so I started to lean on alcohol and wine when I was isolated. I didn't know I was isolated. I love scotch. Even today, I could do a really credible advertisement for scotch and or wine. Excuse, well, wine and the shape of the glass, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, So we're getting closer to today. And so, oh rats. Oh, I used to be, or I can be resentful of certainly people who had a better family life, who were connected to their parents and their siblings. And also, I had, well, one aunt was mentally ill. She got mentally ill. Another aunt died. Lots of my aunts and uncles died from this disease. Joe and Jane died first. Joe died later. And so I guess I was in high school when that happened, and I heard stuff about, your liver and stuff like that. And also, I had two, wait, I had two other uncles that died. One was he, well, he's dead now, but he was in AA, and he was really looked down on by my father. My father was an alcoholic. My parents, I don't know, my mother probably was Al-Anonics, clearly, but I used to resent that, I was in a tough situation with no support, no family support. We didn't know how. And it only occurred to me that the reason that I was able to stop drinking, I didn't stop drinking, thinking I needed to stop this. I had this is I can't do it anymore, because in the picture that I've just drawn with the family and my father, I hated my father. I hated my father because he would we'd go out to dinner because the other kids weren't around. They had more money. He would take the waitress hostage and just chat away with him way longer, more, my mother and I were mortified. And that always really bugged the shit out of me. Excuse me for my timer. Hold on a minute. Oh. Okay, you know what? Really time to get started. Okay, so I hate my father. There's, like some grim details about death from alcoholism. But what actually got me into a room was because I didn't know whether my liver was functioning okay. I didn't have any symptoms, but I knew that I was drinking too much. And but because I hated my father, I didn't want to be like him. And if I couldn't drink, that means that I was just like him. I'm not that way at all today, and I can say that I feel sorry for both my parents. They had a really hard life in terms of being connected in their own emotional life. I still resent that I'm the only part of the siblings that saw that up close. But anyway, I did get in. Okay. So I was prescribed a drug, and the doctor said, "Oh, by the way, you can't drink when you take this drug, and you can do it for a month." I mean, he didn't know anything about my drinking. And I just thought, "Oh, I can't do this for a month." And so he gave me another dosage, I guess, where I couldn't drink for, I mean, I had to do this every week. So, I stayed, I didn't drink for a week for the month. And I thought on my fourth week, I said, why don't I just, sort of piggyback into AA? I forgot to tell you that prior to that, for 12 years, I was an Al-Anon. Part of the Al-Anon program at that time was go visit AA, which I did. The AA meetings had much better stories, very dramatic people, and there you go. Anyway, that's how I got into the rooms. Being who I was and how I was, I think that I had a pretty good amount of some kind of mental illness, which sort of explains the not remembering so much of my life, of my life. And so for a good 10 years, I have 23 years of sobriety, for lack of a better term. But for about the first 10 years, again, I didn't, I just got myself to meetings and I used the fellowship, thank God, because I had something to do. I didn't have to call up anybody. And the same way from Al-Anon, thank God. This was AIDS and I was in New York City. So that was pretty damn tough. But it gave me a community to go to, which was a lifesaver. And so I forgive myself. I'm working on forgiving myself for not getting better at using the tools, but I have been using them for years, and it's so I feel like, okay, so there is something, even if it's the last 15 years of my life, of my sobriety, and what it's like today. Well, I still think that the peeling of the onion is kind of corny, but it's true. Like a lot of our 12-step cliches are corny, but they're true. One at a time is now I'm leaning on that a lot of, well, fair enough. The higher power kind of like prepared a runway for me to come down gently and then gently start picking up the tools. And so as far as this onion goes, what happened this year was I joined what do we call them? A new program. I'm in another program. And I can tell you, it's the program for people with financial issues. And we like to tell ourselves that this is, well, I think that this is the graduate degree. AA is the undergraduate degree, and this is the graduate degree. Which all I can say about that, I'm watching this. All I can say about that is that. And it's called Debtors Anonymous. I don't debt, but I'm an under earner massively. And that's where the not working for all of this time comes in. But it made me so uncomfortable, really, really uncomfortable, because I've still kept a lot of secrets. And hold on a minute. Oh my God. Okay. A lot of secrets. Oh, okay. So there I am in DA. Here I am in DA. I go to a well, it's a double winners meeting and it's a men's meeting. And I continue to learn stuff, like important stuff. And one of the things that I've learned is that it's important for me, because I go to two in-person AA meetings a week, and I stand on that program. I stand on the shoulders of AA. Okay, this is hard to admit, but this is all about honesty. I had a sponsor for many, many, many years. Again, neither one of us can recall exactly how many years it's been, but it's been at probably 10. There, we knew each other. We know each other really well. And so, my sponsor let me go recently because I was, we had a weekly phone call. I asked for that because I'm somebody that, wouldn't call him. It's just like, I don't want to bother him. It's not important enough. I'm still working on that, reaching out. And even now, after these 20 years, I'm still learning, hey, in DA, it's like what I hear is if I'm doing it alone, I'm doing it wrong, because like in between these two things, I'm not going to be getting anything but garbage. I really need input. And so I'm still learning, and I'm still I don't know. Life is exciting. Life is nerve-wracking. Effing nerve-wracking. Like today when I couldn't find the link when I thought I needed it. I do. Okay, so I know when I'm where I need to be. When so I'm in these two 12-step programs. I meditate. I read the newspaper sometimes. And when I bump into either words or suggestions from those inputs that I'm getting, I know I'm in the right place. And it, so it's in the Serenity Prayer. Grant me acceptance. Well, okay, acceptance. And surrender is also part of the 12-step lexicon. When I meditate, I use an app. And so at the beginning of every session, they take a minute and a half to talk about stuff. And what I wrote down is that acceptance, you don't have to like what you're accepting, but you're just letting things be the way they are. And it was like, oh God, because I can like at the drop of a pin produce miles of resentment to my partner, to my situation, to my family, ridiculous stuff. I even exhaust myself and disgust myself that I'm that. I don't know if it's juvenile or whatever, but whatever it is, whatever it's called, it's there. And it's great to know that I'm where I need to be. I'm where I need to be, and where I need to be is what's most disturbing, or what is most frightening. So I was going to begin my share today, but just saying that this is going to be all it's going to be a quilt. It's not going to be like this long run, a long piece of carpet. So I'm jumping around here. So if it's useful, something that I heard was that, and this was just an offhand thing in a meeting, but it was just like there's too much precision in life for it not to be something else, not for there not to be something bigger than me. And I like that, because all along I've been lucky enough not to like wrestle with that whole issue. And I hear people wrestling with it, and I've also begun to there's been, oh man, there's been such clear indications that I'm being looked after. And I'm talking about it doesn't happen too often, but like money floating in without being asked. At one point, my sister sold some family jewelry that I had totally forgotten about, and that was a lot of money. I don't mean thousands, but it certainly helped out that year. And then there was this other time I got a check in the mail from one of my medical providers out of the blue, and it was a dentist, and they said, we overcharged you last March. And so 6 months later, I get this check for $29, which, I just think I think it's great. And I think it's funny that somebody else is like, I don't know, cleaning up the dirty business. I think I'm going to end with that. I think I'm going to end with that. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to yak. I hope some of it's been useful. Over and out. Give me my mute.